Good morning. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Samuel 22:50, and I'd like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. And today I'm preaching on giving thanks. 2 Samuel 22 and verse 50. Therefore, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the nations, and I will sing praises to your name. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, as we gather together this week that we celebrate Thanksgiving, God, I pray that, Lord, above and beyond everything, that, Lord, we will be most thankful for what you did for us through your Son, Jesus. Because without any of that, we would be in big trouble. We would be lost. We would have no reason to have joy or to live. God, we're just thankful for the gift of Jesus and Him dying on the cross and shedding His blood for our sins. And Father, as I preach this message today, God, let every word come straight from You through Your Holy Spirit. And Lord, as Your word goes out, let it penetrate our hearts and our lives. The Lord, when we leave this place today, we can say, it's good to have been in your house. And Lord, we're thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Now I'm going to throw a little bit of Thanksgiving history in here before I really dove into the message. The earliest observance of Thanksgiving on this continent was with special services in Virginia as early as 1607. Now, the first Thanksgiving festival began on December 13th in 1621 at Plymouth, Massachusetts. It started as a harvest festival with the people thanking God for giving them sufficient crops. The first Thanksgiving celebration lasted for 3 days with the people enthusiastically participating. On June 20th, 1676, the town of Charleston, Massachusetts, issued the first Thanksgiving proclamation, and by unanimous vote, the governing council instructed the clerk, Edward Rawson, to proclaim June 29th as a day of Thanksgiving. George Washington issued the first national Thanksgiving Proclamation in 1789, the year that he was inaugurated President of the United States, and he called for another Thanksgiving Day in 1795. So there's a little bit of Thanksgiving history for those of you who didn't know that. So as we are approaching Thanksgiving, I want us to don't focus on the food, even though the food's good, and don't focus on anything else, but what I want you to focus on and to be thankful for is everything that God has given to us. That God has given us the ability to be here in His house today. If you were able to get out of bed and walk through this door, you should be joyful, you should be happy, you should have a very thankful heart, but not just today, but it should really overtake you each and every day of your life. And you know, if you look around, and I've said this before, look at who is here and be thankful they are here. Because you know what? When the time comes and those loved ones and family members pass on and they're not here to sit in the seat that they would normally habitat, but when they're gone, then there's all we have is memories. Be thankful for who we have here now. And be thankful for what God is going to do here at Boscadale Baptist Church. But we have to celebrate Thanksgiving Day with grateful hearts. So what do you have to be thankful for? Well, I made this the top priority because salvation is the top priority thing that we should be thankful for. 1 Chronicles 16:34 and 35. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name and glory in thy praise. We ought to thank God every single day for saving us. I'll tell you something that really strikes my mind and thought every day about somebody I can think of in my life that I knew as a great Christian who was thankful for their life was a dear friend of mine, Debbie Kiesling. I went to church with Mark and Debbie Kiesling, and a lot of you know Mark Kiesling from Channel 3 News, tall, good-looking, young, skinny man. I've known Mark for many years of my life, which I haven't got to know Roger Life too. But Debbie had an unfortunate medical condition, and Debbie was put into a wheelchair the rest of her life. And I remember I'd go to church on Sunday, and every time you would see Debbie come through the doors of the church, she was always radiating, and she was in a wheelchair. She couldn't get out and do the things that you and I do. And finally, I remember Debbie giving her testimony one Sunday morning, and Debbie said to me, she said to the church, she goes, people have often wondered about my situation and why I'm in this wheelchair. And she shared about the medical mishaps and things that went on in her life. But she said, I knew I was going to be in this wheelchair for the rest of my life. But she said there was something that helped me overcome that. She said, I knew who my Savior was. I knew that I was going to heaven and I would be walking again. And she said, I figured as long as I was on the face of this earth, I was sitting in the wheelchair. She said, I might as well radiate the love of Jesus because of what He's done in my life. And I thought, wow. And I was sitting there this morning. I've been griping and complaining about a sinus headache. This is what I've been dealing with. And this woman who was sitting in a wheelchair, paralyzed from the waist down, and I would watch her. She would sing in church choir, and Mark made sure she got up there in her chair, and you would see her radiate with such joy. The love of the Lord was shining through her because she was thankful that God had saved her life. And she said, I knew that physically I may not walk on the face of this earth, but she said, when I get to heaven, I'm not going to be in that chair. And she said, it gives me every reason to be joyful. And today, and for all of eternity, Debbie is in heaven right now, and she's running those streets of gold. Praise God. So you should thank God for saving you. Thank God for taking your life, taking it from the old person that you were, and then He's given you a new reason to live. He's given every one of us a reason to be happy. So if you walk into church, or if you walk around day after day with your lip dragging the ground, then I really want to encourage you to get on your knees, fall before the Lord, and open your heart to Him and ask God to show you the beauty that only He can give you in life. You're not going to find salvation in any other thing that this world has to offer. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And we should praise Him every moment of every day. You should be the reason. You and you as Christians, and me as a Christian, I better throw myself in there. We all should be the reason that when somebody asks us, why are you so happy? That we have a testimony to share, and that we could share it confidently, that we could share it with love, and that when we get done speaking, we know that the Holy Spirit of God has spoken through us and He has touched the heart and the life of the individual that we've encountered. Now I want to share a little funny story with you here. Two men were walking through a field one day, and they spotted a very angry, enraged bull. And instantly they started running toward the nearest fence that they could find. But the raging bull followed them in hot pursuit, and it was soon apparent that they wouldn't make it. Terrified, one shouted to the other, "John, say a prayer." "He says I can't. I've never made a public prayer in my life." And the other gentleman said, "But you must. You must. The bull is catching up to us. He's going to get us." "And all right," John panted, "I'll say the only prayer that I know, the one my father used to repeat at the table. Oh, Lord, for what we are about to receive, make us truly thankful." So see, you got a lot to be thankful for. Be thankful you don't have a bull chasing you. We should be thankful for God's protection. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." God has given us divine protection, just like He did for Job, like He did for David, and He gives us a freedom that we'll never experience anywhere else. He enlightens our spirit. When we come to the Lord heavy, when we come to the Lord and we are grieving, when we are full of anger, when we are full of all kinds of negative emotions, or when life and things are threatening up against us, we can come to God and we can pour our hearts out before the Lord. And if we believe that God will come to our rescue and just have faith of a mustard seed, then God will step in to your life and God will take care of you. God will protect you. God is our defender. God is our refuge. And He is our strength. He is our help in this day of trouble. He gives us freedom. I mean, can you imagine? And the peace that He's given to us. We have freedom to gather here in this church. Now, Laura, it's always amazing how the Sunday school lesson, what I'm about to preach, goes. But, you know, we don't have anybody, no police and no army people around this church telling us, "I'm sorry, you can't go in there and have church today." That's why when we get up Sunday morning, we should make the proclamation, "For what the Lord has done for me, I'm going to go to church today. I'm going to get out of bed. I'm going to get dressed." Now, we were a little late. We were, you know, we got up and we were cooking food, but we made it. But I tell you what, I look forward on Sunday morning to coming to church because I get to see my church family. I know that we're going to worship together, and I know that we're going to receive an abundant blessing from the Lord, and we get to be in His house together. That's what's exciting. And as you're coming to church, you need to make the proclamation and the declaration that you are coming here to serve God, to worship Him, to praise Him, that you are here for, you're not here for anybody else. You are here for you and the Lord. And you need to open the heart, your heart's door, and you need to receive what He wants to pour out into you. We don't come here for Gossip Central. We don't come here to tell everybody else what someone else did or how they made us mad or how they double-crossed us. We should come into God's house expecting to receive a miracle. We should be expecting that when we pray that God is moving in those prayers. We should be expecting that if we are sick or down, that God will heal us, that He will lift us up. That is the peace and the freedom that I'm talking about. And we should never, ever take advantage of that. There will be a day coming when Christians will be persecuted to a point that they won't get to get out and go to church. I tell you what really amazes me, you go to these communist countries like North Korea and Russia and China and even I think even in the Philippines. I mean, there's people, they are not allowed to have church. But people will put their lives at risk and they will meet in secret places to have church. And you know what? If these people in communist countries are caught, They can be killed for what they've done. They can be imprisoned. So that's why I'm saying today, we ought to be thankful for the Lord's protection and His peace and freedom over us that we can gather here, and we should never let a Sunday go by that we don't come to God's house. I mean, that we get to come to God's house. I'm sorry for that. We should be thankful to God for companionship. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I exhort, therefore, that, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Companionship. First thing you need to know is you're not alone. God has said that He is always with us, and God has said He will never leave us and He will never forsake us. That means God is right by your side. When Moses was leading the Israelites over and they were getting ready to cross the Red Sea, do you remember how God took care of them, how God was with them all the way through? And when the Red Sea had been parted, He was their companion all the way across when they crossed on dry land and got to the other side. And then when Pharaoh and all of his armies got into the middle of the Red Sea, the Lord caused the water to come over them. So they knew they were never alone. I want you to know in your life that through the death of a loved one, through a sickness, whether it be a bad report from the doctor, whether it be something financial, or maybe it's a family-related issue, you are not alone. God is always there with you in the midst of your trials and your tribulations. Because what God is saying to you is God is saying, I love you and I care about you so much. And all I want you to do is trust me in faith and come to me and pour out your heart. See, the Bible tells us to cast all of our anxieties upon God because God cares for us. I want you to know you can never overwhelm God with your troubles. I've literally had people say to me, well, I'm all alone, or I like to be by myself because I'm such a bad person, and I used to pray to God all the time, and I've been so bad, I've unloaded on God, and I've made Him turn away from me. Well, that's a lie. You can never make God turn away from you. You can never make God disgusted with you, because God says that He has a love for us, and it's a love that is unconditional. That's how much He loves you and I. And that's why I've always said that it doesn't matter what you're going through in this life. I mean, it does matter, but it doesn't matter to God, because He can take care of any situation in your life. He can heal your body. He can bring your broken family back together. And I'll tell you something, that's what I pray for so much every day. And my wife can attest to that. Every morning when we pray together, I pray, Father, bring my family back together. Bring back the ones who have built up walls, who have separated themselves from the fellowship of our family. Soften their hearts, Lord. Restore the love and bring them back to us. You know what? As a church family, that's what you and I ought to be doing. We ought to be saying, Father, for the ones that got mad, I tell you what, every church has a split. There is not one church on the face of this earth that's never been through a split. Every church has been through at least a split or two. And I'll tell you what happens. There's always a lot of anger. There's a lot of ill feelings. And you would be surprised at how people will carry that on for years. And that's not what the church is known by. The church ought to be known by the love and the compassion of the members of that church. So instead of us pushing people out and separating them, we should be the kind of church that we need to reach out and say, God, bring back the ones who left. I've heard churches even say, well, we don't want them here. You don't know what it doesn't matter what they've done. God will forgive them. And if they have changed, then we need to be praying for God to bring them back, because they need to be a part of this family. They don't need to be out there living their life wandering alone in darkness. Now, I've said this before, be thankful for the companionship of your church family. Tell you what, when you're in need, it's always great to know you've got somebody to lean on. You can call your pastor. Some people go, oh, I don't want to bother the pastor, he's so busy. I've never turned anybody away. Now, if you call and get my voicemail or something, I will call you back, or I'll message you back, whatever, but I will get back with you. I am never too busy, but I want to say this, go to God first. Always go to God first. But God has given you a church family to lean on, and they will pray for you. If there's a need, they will help fulfill that need. And I'll tell you what, when we grow together, and that's what we're supposed to do as a church family, the family that prays together and grows together, they stay together. And that doesn't mean just a family by blood. That means, you know what? We are a blood family. We're a royal blood family. The blood of Jesus was shed for us, so we're a part. We are a blood family. So, hey, we ought to be thankful for each other. We really ought to look out for one another. And when there is a need in the church, I mean, hey, we've got a prayer list here. If we ever need to, we could start a piece of paper and hang it on that bulletin board back there. And if everybody's about got a smartphone these days, take a picture of it and start praying for your church family. Pray for the members pray for family of your church family members. Pray for them as well. Because when you pray for people, God hears your prayer, and He takes that prayer of faith, and He will answer it in His time, and you will see God start to work. I'm thankful for our church family. You ought to be thankful for the companionship of your family and your friends. I'm thankful. I said this last Sunday. I'm thankful when I get up and I get to hear my wife's voice. Now, I don't ever look forward to the day. I mean, you know, if the Lord ever had to take one of us, I don't ever look forward to that. But right now, I got her here. I love to hear her say good morning. I love to say good morning to her. And we get to sit and talk. And we get to pray together. And she'll tell me about things that's happened, testimonies and great things. And I love that. So I'm so thankful for her companionship. And I'm thankful for the family that I do have that's still on the face of this earth. And I make it a point to try to reach out to them to know what's going on in their life, because God has given these people to me, and I want to make sure that they know how much I love them, but I also want them to know how much more the Lord loves them. And this is a big one here. We ought to be thankful. Give thanks for our health. Proverbs 3, 5 through 10. Now, I'm not going to read all of it, but the first part says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. That right there, that's a sermon right there in just a verse. Don't lean on your own understanding. So, in your health, be thankful for what God has given you. Yes, we all have aches and pains. And you know what? There's things medically going on within some people's bodies that we don't know about. Maybe we'll never be aware of. But we should always be thankful, because we have strength that comes from the Lord God. I'm telling you, really, if you're going through any kind of a health struggle, You can sit and worry about it, and it ain't going to do you no good. You know what it's going to do? It's going to make that health issue worse. If But if you need strength in your life, all you have to do is you have to get before the Lord and say, Father, this is what I'm dealing with. The report the doctor gave me, the Lord gave us doctors and stuff, and I'm thankful for that. But we've got to go to God first, and we've got to say, Lord, I need healing. I need strength. Now, I told you before, I'm going to label Effie the Energizer Bunny, because I've come down here during the yard sales, and I've watched, I mean, one minute Effie'd be down here, and I turn around, she's completely gone. And I go, I wonder, and then she's already back up here in the church doing something else. And that's like weeks getting ready for the yard sale, and she's up here cleaning the church. She is giving of her, I mean, the Lord's given her good health. I mean, she gets out there on a riding mower and mows her yard what she can of it, except for the big hill down through there. But I'm amazed at the level of energy that the Lord's, but she gives of herself because of what God has put in her. So see, God has given you so much, and you should be thankful to Him in return. I know there's days I don't have a lot of energy, but I say, Lord, I need energy today, and I need physical strength, and I need you to carry me, Lord. And I'll tell you what, He does it every time. Remember that every good thing that you get, it comes from the Lord. Now, be thankful to God for His provisions. God is our provider. Jehovah Jireh is our provider. And God says that His grace is sufficient for us. God provides for us the Bible, His holy word. He provides you clothing and a home. He's given us a job. He's given us food to eat. He's given us vehicles to drive. He's given us furniture to sit on. Be thankful for it. I tell you what, go home and look around you. Go to work. Look around you. When you go to church, look around you. You'd be surprised how thankful you would be if you were placed in a totally isolated country where you weren't allowed to have all this. I tell you what, you'd be very thankful. Be thankful for what you have. You know, we don't live in a subdivision on the rich end of town, and I don't want that. Our house, it's old. That's all right. But you know what? It's home, and I'm thankful for what we have in it. But that's not what we pursue. But everything that God has given to us, it's a gift from Him, and we should give Him thanks for it each and every day. You should be very thankful.